Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the Sub 11 podcast, I'm joined by Adam Brimo, CEO and founder of ASX-listed Open Learning. Adam, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Thanks for having me. It's great to see you, Chris.
Adam, and likewise, it's been a while. Adam, for those of the listeners and viewers out there that don't know anything about open learning, can you talk about it in a sort of open learning 101 sense, a bit about the history of the business and where you're at currently?
Yeah, sure thing. So, you know, in a nutshell, open learning is a lifelong learning platform that enables universities, colleges, or any education provider to build and deliver their courses online and market and sell them around the world. So we are effectively the digital infrastructure for online education. We provide the end-to-end solution, so whatever type of course they want to build and deliver, however they want to do it, they can use our technology. And we have 3.5 million learners around the world on the platform, 250 universities and colleges and other education providers across the world as well. So that's pretty much what we do. But when we started actually about almost 12 years ago now. We launched in October 2012 with a mission to increase access to higher quality education. So, you know, we started the business, myself and a couple of co-founders, David Collian, who's our CTO, Professor Richard Buckland, who's a professor of computer science at the University of New South Wales. So we all got together and we wanted to make it possible for anyone to build a much more engaging course online. You know, I think we've all done online courses before probably, and you know, sometimes they're quite boring. You might just sit there, you know, watching a video, doing a quiz, and you wonder if anyone else is out there. Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to change that. You know, a great learning experience is one where you're you have a nice community of practice in the course, you're working with other people, you're solving problems, you're looking at interesting topics, you're doing a lot of projects and activities. And that's what we wanted to make possible online. And 12 years ago, that was nearly impossible online. And even today, I'm surprised, but most courses are still, you know, in that really passive format. So that's been our focus this whole time. How do we make online learning as good or better than face-to-face education?
Yeah, and then let's talk about that period through the sort of unprecedented time that was the COVID period, which is about, you know, 4 years ago, roughly, when everyone was sitting at home and locked down, when the remoteness of learning and the remoteness of everything came into fruition. Can you talk about how you adapted at that time and how you navigated through that period?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting period. I think what some people might forget is that online learning existed before COVID and it exists after COVID. Yeah. You know, it wasn't a COVID phenomenon. And in many ways, you know, COVID didn't actually accelerate online learning as much as people thought it might. And I say that because, you know, designing a really great online learning experience, forgetting about the technology, we provide all the technology, but you still need to have educators and effectively learning designers who understand the topic that you're trying to teach and the best way to design the course to achieve the outcomes online. Now, that process is actually quite difficult, quite complicated. You need domain expertise, you need educational expertise, and you can't do it in 1 week or 2 weeks. It takes a few months for each course. Now, the problem was during COVID, people didn't have that much time. So all the institutions, all the schools, the only thing they had time to do was to do the same thing they were doing face-to-face, but to try and do it via Zoom or Microsoft Teams, or Google Meet. And that's what happened. So I'd say very few courses actually got redesigned properly during COVID. Then after COVID, a lot of people have said, well, you know, that experience wasn't very good. We'll go back to face-to-face.
Right.
And
okay.
That's the challenge there. But I would say overall, it did heighten people's awareness to the fact that, you know, if you have to, you can deliver online. But that's sort of two things. I think one is that that's sort of for the bulk of on-campus education. There is a segment, which is lifelong learning, which is a segment that we primarily play in. And that segment is actually becoming predominantly online and even more online after COVID, you know, postgraduate degrees, micro-credentials, short courses, that whole space.
Adam, I'm interested in some of the partnerships and relationships that you've had with various educational institutions over the years and how that's working and progressing, and is that a market that you're focusing on?
So Open Learning works with over 250 education providers around the world, including some of the top universities across Australia and Southeast Asia. So our major partners include the University of New South Wales, Western Sydney University, University of Wollongong, you know, Charles Sturt University, Deakin. So a lot in the university space. We also work quite closely with TAFE New South Wales and a whole range of other public and private education providers and agencies. Across Southeast Asia, we are actually the largest platform for online higher education in Malaysia, and we work with close to 100 organizations over there, from the top universities in the country, like University of Science Malaysia, University of Malaya, University of Technology Malaysia. So quite a few. So what we do is we enable these institutions to rapidly move online for their lifelong learning programs. So if you wanted to launch a program, for example, short courses, micro-credentials, professional development, and you're a big institution, what you would typically do in the past is you'd find, you know, five or six different pieces of software, you know, a learning management system, a student management system, payment gateway, e-commerce, marketing site, and you'd have to integrate all those together, select vendors, and it becomes a two-year project. With Open Learning, we do all of those things in one. So you actually, from day one, you start building your courses. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And you just type in how much you want to charge for your course, and we can take payments in 100 plus currencies around the world for you. And we remit the funds directly to you on a weekly basis. So we make it really easy for them to build and launch their programs. And I think that's one of the big changes that's happening in the sector. People are now realizing, you know, as an institution, they don't need to be a technology company. You know, they shouldn't be doing systems integration. Just like they don't manage their own email server anymore, or they don't manage their own CRM. They use Google, they use Salesforce, they use Microsoft. They should do the same for their education delivery.
And you talk about lifelong learning. Is there a various sort of a trend of, I mean, obviously universities and there's schools and practices around learning, but outside of that institution, is there things that people are really adapting to at a consumer level, I suppose, in terms of wanting to upskill and to learn and sort of overlay that with the macro economy globally?
Yeah, there are. I'd say the big shift is that people are now looking towards professional learning and lifelong learning. These are short courses, you know, they might be 4 weeks long, 8 weeks long, 12 weeks long. They're looking at that for upskilling purposes aligned to job outcomes. Rather than going back to, say, a university or a college and doing a master's degree, because that process can take 1 to 2 years. And, you know, in many cases, it's overkill for the type of skills that you want to learn. So people are now taking short courses and micro-credentials, I'd say, for that purpose. You know, and maybe it's a short data analytics course, a course in AI, you know, digital marketing. These are courses that you can do in that period of time.
You did mention the word AI there, and it's obviously the hot topic ever since sort of ChatGPT came out. It's been a hot topic for a long time, but certainly from a mainstream point of view, the mainstream moment, it would be, I suppose, there's no podcast out there right now that's not talking about AI. Let's talk about AI in your business, Open Learning, and how that is affecting it.
Yeah, so it's a great question because, so David, my founder and CTO, we actually studied AI together at university way back when. And back then, you know, the lectures weren't full. People weren't interested. It was an academic topic. And we actually did not do much with AI and Open Learning for most of the past 12 years until we saw the advances with GPT, and particularly GPT-4, which really proved that there is something there. And what we did very quickly is we've leveraged the technology. We leveraged our relationship with Microsoft. We gained access to GPT-4 very quickly. And now it's been about a year since we actually rolled out a whole suite of tools for educators to help them build and design their courses and content using AI right within the platform. And this is quite groundbreaking. We're the first education platform to do it across the region, across Australia. And the focus that we have is on solving that challenge I mentioned, you know, early on, which is around learning design. You know, how do you design high quality courses online? How do you digitize your face-to-face course and put it online? That was previously a process. that took weeks and months and cost tens of thousands of dollars in Australia. Now, with the tools that we've built, that actually does come down to less than a week. And it comes down to much, you know, a savings of over 90%.
Wow.
Yeah, because the tools that we've built, it's not like a chatbot or anything. We've actually integrated throughout the platform so that the AI assistant, we call it, the AI course builder, allows you to select the styles of learning that you want in the course. So for the learning outcomes, you can choose the educational approach, whether it's Bloom's taxonomy, or social emotional learning, you know, these different sort of education taxonomies for outcomes. And then you go through the process. It can generate the course structure, the modules, the content, the activities, the assessment tasks. All throughout, you're choosing the type of framework you want. So you can say, this is a soft skills course. This is a project-based learning course. And it will do that, and it'll build the content for you. And what it does effectively is, instead of the educator being you know, the person who has to type every last word in the course, they become the editor. They curate this. They work out what they want. The AI generates it for them, and they edit it. And that's how they're saving, you know, 80 to 90% of the time. So it's a really exciting time, because for the past 11 of the, you know, past 12 years we've been doing this, we put so much effort and focus into making it possible for people to build their courses easily and to create quality content. And the bottleneck has always been they had to do the work. But now they don't have to do all the work. They just have to do the last 10%.
So in my understanding there, if you're a course provider, then you can create this course much quicker than you previously could. Therefore, you can produce more courses, and therefore you can actually, you know, significantly enhance the amount of content that goes through open learning, I suppose, on a global basis.
Exactly. So it allows these institutions to get their courses to market faster and more cost effectively, so they can respond to changing demands for skills in the market. And the benefit to us, obviously, is that the more courses that they're building, the more students they're going to have. And our whole model is a software as a service model, and it's based on the number of students that they have in their courses.
Right. And Adam, on a final note, in regards to the company, you've made some acquisitions recently. Can you talk about that and I suppose that the growth plans that are moving forward?
Yeah, sure. So Open Learning is an end-to-end platform. And what we mean by that is it has all of the tools and technology to help institutions build, deliver, market, and sell their courses. Now, on the marketing side, Open Learning operates a marketplace on our website. So if you go to our website, you'll see about 500 or 600 courses that are available and people can enroll. That's actually only about 1% of the courses running on Open Learning.
Oh.
You know, a lot of our customers are running private courses that they're not even marketing through our platform. They've already got students for them. They don't need our help. So our main service is actually not the marketing at the moment. It's the platform. But the marketplace organically attracts a lot of people. Every month, hundreds of thousands of people visit our marketplace looking for courses to take. And it generated tens of thousands of enrollments last year for all of our partners. So the marketplace is organic. It's a value add. We don't spend any money on it. But what we wanted to do was help our institutions, our customers, get to market better. So we made an acquisition earlier this year. We acquired an education marketplace business. They've got a few websites, the main ones being postgradaustralia.com.au and theuniguide.com.au. And these websites are effectively an aggregator. They have about 15,000 university degrees and other programs, you know, colleges, vocational, across the country. And they get about 800,000 plus visitors a year. And they generated well over 30,000 marketing qualified leads for the institutions last year as well. So we picked that up. It has existing customers. It's a B2B model. The institutions are paying for prominent placement on the platform. And we're now integrating that more with our marketplace. So that way we have multiple channels to market, and we can help our partners promote their courses more effectively. So that's what we consider discovery part of the open learning model. We have discovery, we have learning, you know, we have credentialing, so we can issue digital credentials through the platform for micro-credentialing and all of that. But the last piece, which is where we're looking at long-term, is actually on employability. And open learning at the moment actually produces a portfolio of learning for every person who goes through courses on the platform. That portfolio is owned by the student. They can manage that portfolio. and they can share it with employers. So we haven't done much more on the employment side, except for the portfolio itself. But we see over the medium to long term, that's an area that we'll be expanding into. So we can effectively close the loop. We have discovery, we have the learning platform and technology, and we'll also be able to connect, you know, these learners to employment opportunities in the long term. But the focus today, the focus of the business today is on getting the company to profitability, which we have been working quite hard to do. And anyone who's been following us will see that the numbers are trending in that direction. We're focused on growing our software as a service revenue. So that software as a service revenue comes from the platform primarily, and you know the associated things that we're doing around there. And we're enhancing all of that using AI. So the AI technology and tools we have are now driving adoption of the platform, and we expect that will accelerate the growth of the platform going forward.
Adam, one final question. What excites you as being CEO and founder of Open Learning? Obviously, listed on the ASX every day is a bit of a challenge, but what keeps you driven?
So there's two things. One is the impact that we're making on improving the quality of education around the world and supporting our partners in building better courses and getting those courses to market. And the second is the incredible opportunity that AI now presents for our business. You know, many of the challenges that we face in terms of adoption, you know, supporting our partners, those can actually be assisted or resolved now with generative AI. And the tools that we've rolled out in Open Learning so far for helping people build their courses is actually just the start. We have a whole roadmap full of AI features and tools that we'll be rolling out, which will incredibly enhance the educational experience for both learners, but also drastically increase efficiency for the education providers. And that's going to be a massive growth opportunity for us over the years to come.
Adam, thanks for the chat today on Open Learning. Congratulations on what you've achieved thus far. Really look forward to the progress in the future and looking forward to catching up.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.